Good morning and welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We made it to Friday via Cleveland, back to New York. We are here. It is Friday. And as a thank you for all of our hard work, the NBA gifted us the blockbuster trade that broke last night. Thank you, NBA. Russell Westbrook has reportedly been traded to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul. Also, two first-round picks and two pick swaps. So this reunites Harden and Westbrook, who both started with Oklahoma City. Many question the fit. Both of these guys, very dominant ball handlers. But reportedly, the two former MVPs were both very enthusiastic about the idea of playing together again. Nick, I would imagine this came as a bit of a surprise to you, like the rest of us. What was your reaction?
My reaction was the Rockets' title window, which appeared to be closing, if not closed, sprung wide open last night. They move off of a 34-year-old Chris Paul for a far superior, if not flawed, 30-year-old Russell Westbrook. They now have two of the last three league MVPs in the same backcourt. They give James Harden the most talented teammate he's had since he's been to Houston. He's played with Dwight Howard, he's played with Chris Paul, he's played with good players there. They give Russell Westbrook the ability to compete for a championship the only way he ever has, which is as the second best player on a team. And they do it while getting off of what I think most people thought of as one of the three most toxic contracts in the league in Chris Paul's. And Russell Westbrook's not on a good contract himself, but it should be noted, when this contract is over, Russell Westbrook will be 34 years old. Chris Paul is currently 34 years old. So they got a younger, dynamic player who can do, I believe, some of what they brought Chris Paul there initially to do, which is take the workload off of James Harden in the regular season, take the ball out of his hands somewhat in the regular season, cut down his minutes in the regular season, so he's more likely to be fresher at the end of the season and into the postseason. This is, in my mind, an enormous win for Houston. It's not without risk, and it's not without some real questions about fit and the same questions we had about Russ, about his efficiency from three, and all of a sudden even his efficiency from the free throw line still exists. But the Houston Rockets got far, far better last night, and what it means for Chris Paul is a different story.
I want to see how they put it together. We talked about the Lakers yesterday. Oh, what are some of the question marks about the Lakers? We talked about their bench, the roles, would guys accept roles? Also, we talked about the coaching. And even though they do have a coach that has a lot of experience, there's still question marks. Can he find a system? Because he's only got one system. That's get it up and down and shoot threes. Russ, last season, is that the three-point shooter that you want to acquire? No, you got to get Russ in the pick and roll. Now, given P.J. Tucker, Eric Gordon, and the way they structure their offense, the lane should be wider than Russ is used to in the past. But what are they going to do with Harden? It would be like if they put me and Jerry Rice on the same team. You guys play the same position. How are we going to get the ball to both of you? There are going to have to be some sacrifices.
Yep.
Like someone's going to have to compromise. Someone's going to have to take a back seat at some point. So to me, are they one of the more talented backcourts, that we have in the NBA? Yes, of course they are. What style they're going to play and how efficient it's going to be, I don't know that. I need to see this team on the court. I need to see them if they lose two or three in a row. I want to see what kind of defense they're going to play, because Harden has got to make up his mind like he's done the last couple years. And Russ, they got to be more effective defensively. I mean, how can you have all that energy on the offensive end? And I don't buy into all the elite players in the NBA don't play defense. But we do have two there in Houston. So for me, I want to see what style they're going to play at, because I thought they would try to make a move. This was, of all the moves that were going to be made, the best move when you swap out a younger point guard in Russ for an aging Chris Paul.
And one other element is, one thing Chris Paul was not able to do last season, was able to do some his first season with the Rockets, wasn't able to do last season, is take his man off the dribble and break down the defense. And because of that, James Harden was not getting what almost all of the other great perimeter players in this league get occasionally a night, which is an open spot up three. Because who was going, unless Eric Gordon created it, Austin Rivers created it, who could break down a defense, make the defense collapse, and get him an open three? It's why Harden had to do everything in isolation. It's why the step back became such a huge part of his game, because he had to create it on his own. Obviously, there is going to be, when Harden is trying to get to the lane, lane's going to be a little more compressed because people will sag off Russell Westbrook more than they did Chris Paul because he's not as good of a shooter. But this should make James Harden's job so much easier throughout the 82-game regular season, which is what they initially brought Chris Paul there to do.
But it doesn't necessarily make Russell Westbrook's job so much easier because one of these two guys is going to have to make an adjustment to play with the other one. And the two big words that you hear about when you first heard this trade are fit and usage and how the two of them are going to play together. I wonder, see, in your opinion, which team, let's just say the Houston Rockets, did they get better or worse last night?
No, they got better. They got a lot better because he's a better player. Let's just, because it's based on one player, that's Chris Paul, in picks, all right? The first round picks and the pick swaps. Let's put Westbrook on the court in Houston last year in the series that they were in. They are a lot better team. They put more fear into the opposition with Russ on the court. Russ is far more explosive. He can do things that Chris Paul can't do at this stage of his career. But Chris Paul can shoot the ball a lot better.
Yes.
Chris Paul's overall ball handling and his ability to be able to, you know something? P.J. Tucker hasn't gotten a shot in a while. Let me feed him. Let me get Capella. Let me get a lob. Russ doesn't play basketball that way. So I know we'll look at, oh, man, what are the pluses and the minuses? Chris Paul is still a very, very good player. And his style was more fitting to what Houston wanted to do compared to Russ's style.
Since Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder, Russell Westbrook has not missed a game. It's not only averaged three straight triple-doubles, he's done it while playing 82 games. He will be available for you, which is something you didn't know if Chris Paul would be. And every night, Houston's going to go out there expecting to get 55, 15, and 15 from their backcourt. That's an average night for these two guys. If they both of their averages take a big haircut from last season, 55, 15, and 15. It doesn't make them the title favorites. It might give them the best overall starting five in basketball, though, and it gets them back in the conversation, which is somewhere that window was closing for them, especially as Chris Paul entered his age 34 season. Now that window's back wide open.
They're still going to have a problem defensively, not just because of Russ, because they don't have any size. They're going to have a hard time defending the rim, and there is no size. When you got P.J. Tucker as your power forward, and I like P.J. as a player, but he is not a power forward. And the liability of defensive rebounding, it's something that's hurt them before. That didn't get answered because Russ is there.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Moving on to the big story this morning. After rumors of squabbles between James Harden and Chris Paul in Houston, Chris Paul has been traded. He's heading to Oklahoma City for Russell Westbrook, but he might not be there for long. According to reports, OKC is working to redirect CP3 to a new team with the Miami Heat at the top of that list. Nick, what does the future hold now for Chris Paul?
Yeah, this one's tough. couple years of not so relevant basketball and then a buyout and then catch on with a contender. My guess would be the Lakers in 3 years.
So did his title window just close?
Yeah. I mean, his ability to be one of the best players on a championship team's over. And it maybe was already closed in Houston. I didn't think it was. We did Knicks list yesterday, best teams in the NBA. I think I had Houston 5 or 6. Like, they were still alive. They were going to bring back their full starting five if he and Harden could get back on the same page after clearly an offseason we now know where a lot of the reports about their issues, those were very real reports to a degree. And for now, it's going to be he'll probably be traded to a team that maybe is a fringe playoff team. And Chris Paul hasn't been in a position where he's not playing for championships really at any point in his career. I mean, he got that New Orleans team immediately, 2 years in, into the playoffs when he was an MVP candidate, I think, in year 3. So this is tough. I mean, Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. They reworked the CBA, allowing players his age to get this length, this dollar amount of contract. And now that contract, while it will make him and his family and generations on generations rich almost in perpetuity, it's an albatross around his neck as far as being able to catch on for a contending basketball team. And it's one of the reasons why you have to attach 4 first-round picks, 2 picks and 2 pick swaps, to move off Chris Paul to bring in Russell Westbrook, who also has a tough contract. Chris Paul's an all-time great in my mind, even though he's never been to an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But this is the next couple years, he's going to be in basketball no man's land.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he can't win a championship. I think we put an emphasis on who are the best players and win the championship. He might bounce around the league now, and people won't look at it that way. But when you wear out your welcome, people start getting tired of you. And that's what happened with the Clippers. How'd he end up in Houston? Right? He shouldn't have been in Houston. They could have continued building on what they had with the Clippers. Why? There was problems there. Almost everywhere Chris Paul has been, when he leaves, you start hearing stuff. All right? Houston, there wasn't rumors. That was true. They were not getting along. It didn't go well for him. And he's not the player. Even though you're the head of the Players Association, he's not the player he was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So it's hard to be that type of leader when you're not that type of player anymore. He couldn't go off the dribble this year. No. When they needed a bucket late for him in the playoffs, they couldn't get it from Chris Paul. You can't play a lot of minutes, so you got workload management. You got other things. Is he going to help younger players? Because his style is very, very different. You know, and he is very verbal and has gotten into many confrontations with his ex-teammates. But if you look at the past, the Clippers, what happened? Now with the Rockets, Nick can feel sorry, but this is who Chris Paul is.
Well, what did Chris Paul give you in Houston that you're not going to get from Russ? Because I think people just assume that they're...
Listen, better shooting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Better shooting, better spacing, a more willing distributor, and a guy that was not going, if he got fouled, would go to the line and knock down the shots. I mean, he is better shooting the basketball than Russ without question. There's no argument there. But what he didn't, I mean, including the playoffs, he had more than 25 points 5 times all year. Including the playoffs, he played at least 36 minutes, just 19 times all year. He was good in the Game 6 loss that ended the Rockets' season, but it was Game 5. It was the game 2-2 against Golden State when Kevin Durant goes down to tie game, and the Rockets have a golden opportunity in that moment, and Chris Paul's 3 of 14 in that game. He's 0 of 6 from 3. That was the moment that the Rockets had a chance to change their own NBA history, and hell, maybe change all NBA history, because if they knock the Warriors out, Durant never pops his Achilles. But he couldn't do it anymore. And if you remove the contract, he's still a valuable player. He's still, to me, one of the 12 best point guards in basketball. Like, he can still be a part of a winning system, a winning team. He still adds value. But he doesn't add value commensurate with $40 million a year over the next 3 years. He doesn't add value commensurate with that when you consider the fact that this is his age 34 season, then age 35, then age 36. That's the concern for him, is guys his size have never aged gracefully in the NBA. He's short. I mean, he's a shade over 6 feet tall, barely. Like, so you knew this was coming. I think the Rockets thought they could squeeze maybe another year or two out of him.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful in guys who have had a long career and been successful. We tend to forget what type of player they were. Chris Paul was a great player for over 10 years. That's why the contract, he earned that contract. So to me, it's not a matter of, because it's different than in the NFL. They don't pay the aging veterans that way. In the NBA, you end up getting stuck with guys like Chris Paul. So get used to that. Get used to guys like Dwayne Wade at the end of their career. Well, man, how much money are they worth? And it's not what they're worth then. It's what they did.
How they earned it.
Melo, how he went out. Like, all these things that we're going to have to start getting used to, older players, how they age, not aging well, and being one of the highest paid in the league. Back to Chris Paul. There's a number of things that I would prefer having him over Russ on the basketball team. Number one is basketball IQ is a lot higher than Russ's. He plays the game a lot smarter. He's more in sync with the coach and trying to operate the team as a quarterback than Russ is. He's more dependable in the fourth quarter because he can shoot free throws. He's a better on-ball defender and a help defender than Russ. Even though he's not as athletic as he used to be, he's been an all-NBA defender for a long time. So his positional defense is better than Russ's, and he's better without the ball than Russ is. So there's a number of things that Chris Paul, we might try to tear him apart, but there's still a number of things at this age he's still at, better at than Westbrook will be.
How much of this is because of the rumors we heard last year? If there was no chemistry issue with James Harden, would Daryl Morey have been so quick to try to get rid of this albatross, if you will, this big contract, or would they try to wait it out for a year?
Daryl's going to come out and say that this is regular alpha dog stuff and that had nothing to do with this trade. Whether you want to believe him on that is up to you.
Don't believe him.
Well, here's what I do believe. I do believe that even if Chris Paul and James Harden got along great, which they obviously did not by the end of last year, the Rockets still would have made this move because they think they're better, because Daryl's always been in the superstar acquisition business and Chris Paul's no longer a superstar in this league. I think that the biggest reason they make this move, even though stylistically there are some fit questions, is because Chris Paul played 58 games his first year with the Rockets and then got hurt in the playoffs. He played 58 games last year with the Rockets, and they only made it to the second round. It's about being able to rely on him over the course of what they hope to be a 100-game season. That was the biggest hurdle here, more so than the relationship. If they had traded Chris Paul for nothing, if they had traded him into cap space, then I would have said that's a relationship issue. But they got back a player who is a better, younger, more available player than Chris Paul.
Chris Paul came there with an understanding with the management, with a handshake deal, I'm going to get this extension when my contract expires. And in that handshake deal, they were not expecting Chris Paul to be traded. If they have a better relationship, James Harden is not going. You know what they do based on what's going on in the league? Let's run this back. Man, we're just as good as everyone else. But no, his leadership. Harden can't lead with Chris Paul being there. So I disagree with Nick, because you wouldn't have been talking about the trade. And if the trade comes up, Harden squashes it. No, man, that's my guy, man. We're close. We're only one play away from getting there. But no, when it was brought up, you know what Harden told him? Hey, man, y'all can have him. Y'all can move off of him. Russ? Oh, yeah, man, bring Russ on in. So I disagree with Nick, because when we do approach that conversation, Harden could have squashed it if everything was good. Because right now in the league, they didn't have to make any adjustments. If they came back as the team they were last year, they're one of the top four or five teams in the NBA.
Stories to start your morning.
Mm-hmm.
We can't start anywhere other than
too.
The big NBA trade. Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul, two first round picks and two pick swaps. So Russ and Harden both have combined to win two of the last three MVPs. CC, do the Rockets have a championship team now?
I don't know about a championship team. I don't believe champions are on paper. There are some connective tissue that I believe's got to be developed this year more so than any other year. Right now, we got to give credit to some teams that have had some success together. What about Milwaukee and all the players they have returning? What about Philadelphia and what they accomplished? Even with the Clippers, with that undermanned roster, given the Warriors, winning two games from the Warriors in Golden State. I don't know about that. We need to see some basketball. All these teams on paper, all of them look good, chemistry issues, and this is one of the more explosive ones. So they are more talented.
Yeah, they're more talented, and I would say they're their variance has expanded here. They are more boom and potentially more bust. I would agree with that. But they are better than they were when we sat here yesterday. When we sat here yesterday, I thought there were only five or six teams that had a better championship chance than them previously. They have as good of a starting five as anyone in basketball. They have a starting five that makes sense if Russ and Harden can play well together. And I know you have concerns about the defensive end. They have one of the best defenders in the league in P.J. Tucker, and that what they will need is Clint Capela to be the guy he looked like he was going to be a year ago rather than the guy he actually was last season. That is critical for them now with that backcourt.
All right, let's stick in with the NBA. An executive recently compared Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's two-way play to that of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. High praise for the newly formed duo. See, you agree with this? Can Kawhi and PG be the best two-way duo since MJ and Pippen?
Man, that's a tough climb right there. The one thing I can say, though, offensively, no players like Jordan. But if you're saying Paul George is the second player, he's a lot better offensive player than Scottie Pippen. On the defensive end, I've never seen anyone better than those two. So when you start doing the greatest teams and everything, I try to calculate, well, how you going to score on those guys? How you going to score on Pip? 6'7", 6'8", Jordan, 6'6". Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm going to hold off on that one.
Listen, Kawhi is, in my mind, the best perimeter defender we've had in this league since Scottie Pippen, who might be the best perimeter defender ever. I do get the comparison, though, because stylistically, Kawhi has some similarities to MJ offensively, and body type-wise, Paul George has some similarities to Scottie Pippen. That was the best defensive duo as far as perimeter guys we've ever had in Pippen and MJ. People underrate what a dominant defensive player MJ was, and he didn't even have to be the best defensive player on his own team. But the path for the Clippers will be these two guys both playing all NBA caliber defense along with combining each night for around 50 points.
Yeah, don't forget Patrick Beverley.
Absolutely.
All right, on to the NFL now. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon has reportedly informed the Chargers he won't show up without a new deal. Gordon scheduled to make $5.6 million this year, by the way. See, how important is having Melvin Gordon in the fold to the Chargers offense?
Now, the Chargers, most people won't realize this. They're one of the most talented teams they have in the league. Melvin Gordon is a huge part of what they do, and I can understand why he wouldn't want to be at training camp. Why jeopardize my career in the last year? If they are going to do something, I shouldn't have to prove myself to him. He's done enough on the field to live up to that first-round pick, which they made for him. They should extend him. He shouldn't have to start the season. So I'm behind Melvin Gordon on this one.
I'm 100% behind him. I hope he gets a new deal. He's in a rough spot. He gets fined a regular season game check for each preseason game missed, which is wild, but that's how it works if you hold out in your fifth-year option of your rookie deal, kind of little wrinkle of the CBA. But they do need him now. Phillip Rivers is not getting younger, and this is a team that absolutely should compete with the Chiefs for the top of that division to be one of the three best teams in the AFC. But he is a critical piece of their offense.
Yeah, I would go to training camp, but whenever them games are scheduled, my hamstring going to be tight that morning. Hey, Doc, my hammy, which one? I don't know. Neither one of them. Neither one of them feel good.
The Cowboys have got some prioritizing to do. Three young stars looking for big, big paychecks. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper all in line for contract extensions. That's a tall order, though, for the Cowboys. Dak said, quote, I want to see Zeke the highest paid. I want to see Amari the highest paid. I want to see myself up there. And I don't think any of that is too far-fetched. CC, how should the Cowboys prioritize Dak, Zeke, and Amari?
Well, Dak, first of all, let me just tell you some leadership principles here. First of all, take care of your contract and take care of your money, all right? And as you start talking about teammates, be careful what you say, because Ezekiel Elliott is the only one that deserves to be the highest paid at his position. Even Dak doesn't even deserve that. So when you listen to your leaders talk, you want some consistency. And Amari Cooper, why? Because he played 8 good games? Oh, he should be the highest paid receiver? Have you looked at those numbers? Because if you looked at those numbers and crunched those numbers, you would realize how stupid you sound. Y'all don't have a whole bunch of money. Like, you better be happy if they extend you and make you one of the top 8 highest paid quarterbacks. So I've known this through coaches, man. They tell you all the time, don't worry about other people's money. Don't count other people's money. And don't speak about your teammates' money into the paper or into the media, because it doesn't help them. You don't have to say that for Zeke to know my quarterback supports me. All right? That's just a little too much, and it will hurt his ability to lead. Because now, you know something? What if they make the left tackle take a pay cut?
So then he's on the board.
Yes.
Tyron Smith, it's absolutely on the board.
That's a natural way of doing business. So then players in the locker room start thinking, man, does he got something to say about that? Because if he got something to say to Jerry and them, why don't I go talk to him and be able to make sure that I can keep my money?
Right.
So when you're in that leadership position, you have to be careful when you start talking about other guys on the team, what kind of money they're getting, because there is a ripple effect into your other teammates.
So where do you think they should be prioritizing?
Well, listen, I think they made it clear where they're prioritizing him, because they traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper and he got 1 year left on his deal. To me, they have to get Amari done. They don't have to get Dak done, and Zeke gave them a little wiggle room by going to the principal's office again this offseason. Zeke is the best player. You're right. Zeke is the one who has performed to the level that he could say, I'm the best at my position in the league. But he's also given the Cowboys an out on committing long-term guaranteed money to him, because he's been suspended once before in this offseason, got into a little bit of trouble again, even though he's going to avoid suspension there. I would prioritize Amari, Zeke, Dak. Because I think that is Amari, we know his contract is expiring. Zeke's the best player, but also the positional value, and because of the things I mentioned. And Dak is the lowest performer of the three, even though he's at the most valuable position of the three. But it also does not sound like Dak is going to be taking the advice you gave him a few months ago, which is, man, you can live really well on $25 million per year. You don't need to be one of the very highest paid players in the league. There's value in being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Because that then opens up the possibility of other guys getting paid, especially you talk about guys like Tyron Smith.
You can't have the highest paid running back, wide receiver, and the fourth highest paid quarterback.
It doesn't exist.
It does not exist. Like, that's not a thing that happens.
Right.
And so for Dak, he's in a rough spot, because I know what his agent's telling him. I know what his agent's telling the Cowboys. You see what Carson Wentz got? How many playoff games he won? How many playoff games he played in? How many, that's the message there, because Carson got 4 years, 128 in the same division, in the same draft. I get that, but Carson's better than Dak, even though Dak has been more durable and Dak's won a playoff game. And so this could draw out a bit longer than I think people expect.
I have a different priority list than Nick, because if I look at the Dallas Cowboys, who will be playing for the Dallas Cowboys in 6 to 10 years? Only one player, probably, and that's Dak Prescott. So to me, I make him a priority. But I don't make any of them a priority if what they're asking for is outrageous. So even if you say Amari, should he be a top priority? He shouldn't be the highest paid wide receiver. Should he be in the top five because he's the guy up? Yes. But what they should be talking about is, you know something, guys? We can create the modern-day triplets. Right now, all those guys are making six figures off the field in Dallas. If they're able to stay together, I know Michael Irvin, I know Emmett, I know Troy, all those guys, good friends of mine. Man, they made millions of dollars off the field just there in Dallas. Forget about on the national stage. So to me, they're missing a real opportunity, a special time for them to stay together as a young group in Dallas, compared to saying things like this, which I don't believe lead to being a great leader when you go back into the locker room.
All right, time will tell. Hopefully short time. Back to the big NBA news of the day. Now, Russell Westbrook,
make that Nick Wright off the court money,
heading to Houston in exchange for Chris Paul and a whole bunch of draft picks. This will reunite Westbrook with former teammate James Harden, who spent the first 3 years of his career in OKC. Nick, how will James Harden have to adapt his game playing alongside Russ? Or is it Russ who's going to have to adapt his to play alongside James Harden?
Both. Listen, this is both these guys, especially once Paul George was traded, this is what they wanted. It's been reported by Brian Windhorst. They got on the phone together. They were talking about it while there were a lot of reports about Russ to Miami. Russ's preferred destination was Houston. Obviously, James Harden would prefer to play at this point with Russell Westbrook than with Chris Paul. So you got what you wanted, now you have to adjust. Because while if we're just doing individual player rankings, the Rockets got better. Fit-wise, there are some questions. who led the NBA in who was first and second in the NBA in touches, in isolation, and in time of possession with the basketball per possession?
Both of them.
The 1-2, 2-1, 1-2, Russ and Harden, Harden and Russ. Like, so there is an enormous amount of redundancy here as far as they are both used to leading the league, top two in the league in usage, top as far as the ball is in my hands and we work from there. With that said, both of these guys also know the closest either of them has ever come to a championship is playing alongside another MVP. For Russ, the closest he's ever come to a title wasn't really the 2011 season, in my eyes, that they lost, 2012 when they lost to the Heat in the finals. The really closest Russ ever was a superstar to a title was the last year Durant was there, when Durant was the best guy and Russ was the number two guy. And the best chance Harden ever had at a title was 2 years ago when Chris Paul was still an all-star plus level performer, not who he was last year. So both these guys need each other, but they have to adjust. And that's where the head coach, whatever his contract situation is or isn't, that's where the head coach needs to find a way to make them adjust. Because Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella know their roles. How do they, these two guys, fit alongside each other? Because the best way is not your turn, my turn. The best way is them working together, not alternating turns. And that's going to be the hardest stumbling block for this Rockets team.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it. If you look at the time of possession, both of them have the ball. It's impossible for them to continue playing the style they're playing. And, yes, there's compromise. It's always nice you have one of those, like, bi-coastal relationships. Everything seems all fine. You get engaged. And you know something? Let's move in with each other. Then you start finding out, you know something? Ah, he's not so clean. She's not so clean. Ah, I thought she was a great cook. Ah, she can't cook at all. Like, living together is totally different. And let's not forget what Harden has done the last several years. Last year, 36, 6, and 7. I ain't getting ready to come. I don't need Russ, so I disagree with you. I don't need Russ. I just did this by myself. 36, 6, and 7. Harden is playing a level right now. He feel like he don't need anyone. And when he gets in the playoffs, that's his mentality. So what's he going to do to Russ? He's going to turn the team over to Russ? Like, man, this is a juggling act. Like, so Russ is just going to take a back seat now after having his own team for a number of years?
Well, if Russ was willing before Paul George got hurt to take a back seat to Paul George, I think he will certainly.
He only took a back seat on the offensive end. He was still the leader of the team. He still made that team go.
Oh, sure.
But how long did that last?
Well, it lasted until Paul George got hurt.
Oh, or it wasn't getting hurt, or was it just it was going to happen anyway? Well, see, we
don't know. Right. I understand you're saying that maybe ultimately, even if Paul George was healthy, Russ would have done the same thing. That's an unknowable fact, right? I get your point that I can't say with certainty that Russ, that the injury was the reason for it. It's just that's when it timed up with it. But I try to assign these guys a level of self-awareness. And like Harden, you can
you give people too much credit, Nick. I've been in too many of these locker rooms. I've been around too many of these guys. These guys are so self-absorbed. I know that. I was one of them guys, man. And you keep appropriating this. Oh, man, if a normal guy. No, these guys aren't normal. They're used to it being their deal, all right? And trying to turn it over, or I'm getting ready. 36, 6, and 7? I don't need no help.
But doesn't it, I'm sorry, Jenner, yeah. Just quickly, doesn't it help, though, that they have a relationship, that they've played together, that they wanted to come together, that if there was ever a time for both these guys to look at each other and say, hey, listen, you've won an MVP, I've won an MVP, and we've both gone home. Like, we do need each other to a degree. Now, does it work? Does it matter even if they get on the same page if Russ is claiming
Russ
threes?
Wouldn't even say he needed KD. Like, after KD left. Like, Russ doesn't believe, he doesn't have the mentality. He tells you that every time. I'm going to play this way. I'm not going to change. And that's why you like him. So now all of a sudden, you want him to turn that off. Everything that drives Russ, turn that off and go to Houston and whatever Harden says goes.
But Chris Paul was pretty ball dominant. I think he ranked 6 or something in touches before he got paired up with Harden. And very clearly, Harden became the guy there. Is Russ able to do the same thing we talked about, whether he would adjust his game to go to Miami or to San Antonio? We said, no way, he is who he is. How does he do that, to your point?
Well, listen, to answer both your questions, if there's ever going to be a time, and I've said this with multiple guys, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, where they do change, it's an event like this, where you are traded, where Paul George leaves, where you are staring at the, not the twilight, but you're closer to the end than the beginning of your career. You're back with, for the first time since KD was there, mm-hmm. there's a guy on your team that you might truly believe is better than you. I don't think, mm-hmm. even though he handed the car keys to Paul George, I don't think he believed George was better than him. George hadn't accomplished what he'd accomplished in this league.
Let's look at some of our other great players that we've seen them, they start to deteriorate. Remember Dwayne Wade? He was going to go play with LeBron. How'd that work? Man, we got to release him. This ain't no fun. He had to crawl back down there to Miami so he can go out.
They just let him walk.
Melo. Oh, Melo. Oh, man, Melo. At this point in his career, I swear, man, we're going to play some defense. He's going to be a team player. Huh? Really? Like, I haven't seen a great number of these guys make, who have been superstars, make that adjustment. So I'm just going on past behavior will predict future behavior.
Which I totally agree with. If I thought Russ was in the D-Wade Melo portion of his career, he's 30 years old. He was All-NBA last season. He three straight years of averaging triple-doubles, even if that's an overrated number. Like the, I just,
right,
I don't think, I don't think Russ is, at the, I think Russ is still clearly one of the 20 best players in the league. Now, there are some adjustments that have to be made, and we'll see if they can make them.
But Russ is one of your favorite players. I talk about some of my favorite players all the time. You know what? I try to give him benefit of the doubt. You know why? Because I like him. But a lot of the players I like, they got sides to them that aren't the best. And it's just the truth about it. Russ is who he is. We can't expect him with that transaction that he's getting ready to change into something else. We should expect him to be that way in Houston. I'll be shocked if he changes. But if he changes, I will say it. But I'm not going to appropriate for him, oh, just because he got traded. Oh, he's getting ready to, oh, no, no, no. It don't work that way.
Back here, first things first, joined by FS1 NBA analyst Sarah Kustok. Good morning, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I had to call up someone I agree with, man, on these sports takes and everything. Thank you.
I don't know.
Glad
don't
you were
speak
available.
So soon.
Yeah.
Folk out here.
We'll see.
We got a lot to talk to you about. Of course, we start with the blockbuster trade from last night. The Thunder have traded their all-time leading scorer and eight-time All-Star Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul. Westbrook will now be reunited with his good friend James Harden. What was your reaction to this, Sarah?
The NBA is bananas, and I love every bit of it. And this is one of the most exciting summers that we have been a part of. And add on to the fact that all of these teams, that there's so much balance and parity, we once again have a Houston Rockets team who was in that mix and probably believed that they could still compete for a title. Mm-hmm. To me, now got even better. I know that the first thing we think of when we look at Russell Westbrook, look at James Harden, and their usage rates of last season, the style of which they both play, how are they going to fit together? There's a lot of questions that come along with it. But to me, that aside, this improved the Rockets team because you are getting what could be one of the best backcourts in the NBA coming into next season. You've got a player in Russell Westbrook who has the opportunity to take off some of that responsibility of James Harden. And I think more than anything, when we talked about the Houston Rockets and what Daryl Morey was going to do, the desire they had to potentially trade for Jimmy Butler, a lot of the moves that they were looking to make, they were going to have to give up players. Our question was, do they give up Capella? Do they give up PJ Tucker, Aaron Gordon? What happens? Now they have the rest of their bench, they have their depth, and more than anything, and this is what it always comes back to with chemistry, continuity with teams, how are you going to be successful? Chris Paul and James Harden didn't want to play together anymore. They didn't like each other. There was, you know, a time a few months ago we talked about their relationship being irreparable. Mm-hmm. So whether or not that was actually the case, whether or not they could have fixed things, I think the fact that you've got a player in Russell Westbrook still with the talent and skill level that he brings to the table, wanting to play with James Harden, James Harden wanting to play with him. They've known each other since they were kids back in Los Angeles. I believe that while there's going to be a heavy load on Mike D'Antoni to figure out the style, the way in which they play, how the pace changes, how he's going to utilize these guys with the ball in their hands, this Houston Rocket team once again becomes better this offseason and has a legitimate chance to contend for a title.
So that you mentioned that they got better, and the trade tells us we know which team got the better player. It's the team that had to give out two first-round picks and two pick swaps. They make the same amount of money this year. Now, Russ has an extra year on the contract, and in 4 years, are the Rockets going to say, man, Russ at $47 million when he is 34 years old? Yeah, that could be tough. But when Russ is entering the final year of this deal, he will be younger than Chris Paul is right now. And Harden last year was forced into that 30-game stretch by what? By a Chris Paul injury, the 30 points in what, 30 consecutive games, where he was second longest to Wilt, and then he just kept going on it. But what Harden learned again was, okay, so wait, I did all that. I did the numbers Chris said earlier, 36, 6, and 7. I didn't win league MVP. My team didn't even get past the second round. This, where they were, I think they would have been contenders, but it would have taken Chris Paul to get back to where he had been, not last year, but the year before. Turn the hands of time backwards, which is almost impossible to do. And Harden clearly felt like they needed to make a change. If you remember his somewhat cryptic final statement at the end of the press conference after game 6, oh, I know what we need to do to get better this offseason. Was he saying trade Chris Paul? I'm not certain. I know that the reports since then have made it seem like that is what he was talking about. But when he said that, if he was talking about trading Chris Paul, he never thought they'd be able to get a player of Russell Westbrook's caliber. It would have been pieces. It would have been role players. They now have two stars and kept their role players. PJ Tucker's wildly important. Clint Capella is supposed to be important, even though he was not very good in the playoffs last season, particularly in that series against Golden State. Does it take adjustment? Of course. Does it take Russ being better from the free throw line at the very least? Yes. Will it take Harden deferring at least a little more to Russ than he did to Chris Paul? Yes. That's why we have to see how it works. But as we sit here today, I think everyone agrees they're better than last year. Now, maybe they have more of a chance for it to go totally to hell than last year, but I think they are clearly a more talented, more dangerous team, and if you were to draw them in the playoffs, it's more of a bummer having to go up against Russell Westbrook than it is having to go up against Chris Paul at this point in his career.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to think that the Rockets got the wrong end of this deal. No, there's no one who wakes up and said, oh, you know, Houston, they're not as good as they were yesterday. No, everyone thinks that they're better. But it's about style, it's about fit, and it's about chemistry. That's what sports is a lot about. The reason why Kawhi Leonard was able to take that team through the playoffs was the overall chemistry. Kawhi talked about some of the things that happened that didn't get out afterwards. These things are more important than overall talent. All right? So, yes, they are better, but what is Houston's philosophy offensive? When they come down, what's their philosophy offensively?
Get to the rim, get to the free throw line, and shoot as many threes as possible.
Okay, now, I'm getting ready to tell Russell Westbrook he already had that. And you see how it worked. There is no player that's less efficient than him in the NBA, especially when you play at pace. So the faster you play, the worse he plays. So I'm getting ready to turn this all over to Russ and all this whole summer because one of my buddies that I played with back from L.A., that's getting ready to change my mindset. The one thing that's been consistent about Russ is he'll wear anything to a game. His style is unapproachable. Like, and also, the way he's going to play basketball, and after the game, he never apologizes for that. So all of a sudden, who's going to tell him? The owner? Delmer? Is your buddy Daryl? Is he getting ready to talk to him? Is the coach getting ready to tell him, we need you to change? Somebody let me know.
It's got to be Harden.
I think oh. Harden may. I would put
so,
that
So tell me how that conversation goes, though.
Goes, hey, man, you and me have done everything in this league except for one thing, win a championship. You've won an MVP doing something unprecedented. I've won an MVP doing something unprecedented. We both probably think we are not respected the way we should. Why? Because we went to one NBA Finals when we were kids together and haven't been back since. We both need to adjust. We both need to figure out a way to get this team over the hump. Now, that doesn't mean it works, but that is what you say.
But they're in different roles now than they were the last time they played. Wasn't Harden the sixth man the last time they played?
Let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah. So all of a sudden now you think Russ is all of a sudden going to say, oh, yeah, you're better than me. I'll listen to what you tell me. I don't think that conversation is going to go that well.
This is many years. To me, though, this is many years after that. Both have done different. These are two of the last three MVPs. They have accomplished different things throughout the course of their career. I don't think you look back as playing together as a template of what we're going to see. This is very different in these guys coming together, having been with different players, combinations, understanding that. I agree with you. These are not easy conversations to have. It may be something that Russell needs to adjust to, but I also think the pace idea of it, Houston was one of the bottom 5-6 paces in the league. They played at a slower pace. I think there's going to be give and take with how Russell Westbrook plays, but that's to me why one of the biggest question marks is what style do they implement? Do they have a strategy? Do they have a game plan? What is their system on both ends of the floor? How does that change given the efficiency of James Harden in the half court? And what do they do to implement something different? Because it goes back, this is not what Mike D'Antoni, how he coached and his coaching philosophy until he got the personnel and the players of James Harden.
Nobody is going to want to have that conversation with Russell Westbrook. So, Nick, you're going to do it.
We're going to say,
hey, man, hey, man, get out of my face.
Back here on First Things First with Sarah Kustak, and we're talking the big Rockets-Thunder trade last night. Houston getting Russell Westbrook while OKC gets Chris Paul. Now, CP3 will reportedly not be with the Thunder long, as the team is expected to trade him to a contender. Sarah, what's next for CP3? Is it the rumored Miami Heat?
I think that could be a possibility. I'm curious to see what happens. And I think these are possibilities. I think hopefully for CP3's future, a contender is in the horizon, but also depending on what Sam Presti wants to do, needs to do what's best for his organization. I mean, CP3's contract could also be a salary dump, and that's on the table as well. So I think there's a multitude of options, and it comes back to how much the Oklahoma City Thunder, Sam Presti, want to sit down with Chris, with his agent, figure out. I don't know where the balance is between making sure to do right by him or just do what is best for the organization. Miami was obviously interested in Russell Westbrook. Do they have the same interest in Chris Paul? To me, that's something that I'm not certain it's the same one for one. We would have taken on that contract. We would have taken on Russ. So we're just going to go ahead and take on Chris Paul. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this. And in the buyout, I know there was an initial thought about it, but that's a lot of. I can't see any capacity that being an option. So when we talk about him going to a contender, I'm not quite sure where that necessarily falls in line.
You mentioned the buyout. Listen, Chris Paul's owed $121 million right, with 3 years left on his deal. We've never seen that type of buyout in sports history. Right. I mean, like that's not a thing that exists in the NBA. I mean, I guess this offseason has been unprecedented in a lot of ways, but what are they going to do? Right, 80 cents on the dollar of $121 million is what? $96 million? That's not going to happen. Like, and so he's going to play next year and the year after on a non-contending team. Probably Miami. There's some other teams that maybe would get involved. Maybe if he starts the season with OKC, maybe the old New York Knicks come calling. Who knows? But he's not going to be able to be on a contender until the third year of this deal when he is bought out and he can sign on with the team for very little money. That's what's happened here. Whether it was because he and Harden went bad, whether it was partially because he and Harden went bad and partially because Russ came available, whether it was just because Russ came available and CP3 got old quicker than I saw him getting old. I mean, he was awesome his first year with the Rockets. He was even better in the playoffs until he tweaked his hamstring. And from that moment forward, he just looked like an aging, once great player who once a month would channel the greatness, not once a week. He only had more than 25 points 5 times all last year, including the playoffs. He hasn't played 60 games in a season since he was with the Clippers. And so it's not great what's next for Chris Paul. This is more along the lines of what we've seen from a Dwayne Wade at the end, even though he's better than Dwayne Wade was at the very end.
Carmelo Anthony,
like that, he's not going to be out of the league. But because of his contract, a contender can't take him on. And so he's going to be playing not meaningless basketball, but not championship contending basketball. And that'll be a first for him since his first couple years in New Orleans when he was a young player.
And the thing he doesn't have going for him that Dwayne Wade had going for him, people like Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was always a part of the glue, always a part of the solution. At a young age, he deferred to LeBron. That was one of the smartest things he could ever done. Now, we're trying to appropriate that to players like Harden, that to players like Russ. That's why I don't say that that's going to happen, because very few players do that. Dwayne Wade was able to extend his career. That's why he went out with people exchanging jerseys at half court, because they like Dwayne Wade. Melo, on the other sense, would he adapt? Could he come off the bench? Would he be a role player? Would he play defense? Would he rebound? Would he play the four? Nah, he wouldn't do those things. So his career was cut short. If you're not going to be a great leader, if you're not going to help in the locker room, if you're not going to help them develop young players, you become a problem at the end of these contracts. That's why Dwayne Wade went out like that, because people like him. That's not the word on Chris Paul. As great as he was, right now he's in a bad situation. And if I'm OKC, enough's enough. I ain't getting ready to do what you maybe pointed to, that, you know something? What's best for the player? Paul George, I did what was best for him. I just traded Russ. That was best for him. I'll be damned if Chris Paul, if I'm getting ready to do what's best for him. It's time for Sam Presti to do what's best for OKC. Continue to stockpile all those draft picks. Don't put all those young players out there with Chris Paul. Trade him away. Build, you're rebuilding now.
Well, that's where what might be best for them is best. I think Chris Paul,
whatever options. Sure. I'm not trying to lean on, what's better for old boo-boo over here. No. I'm getting ready to do what's best for OKC.
I don't think OKC is doing that. I don't think Sam Presti is doing that. You don't collect 15 first-round picks over the course of the next six drafts by always doing what's best. And I think with that being said, this is a very different situation than where Chris Paul, when we're looking at the contract, what Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets were trying to do when they were in Houston and trying to make a trade, trying to figure out how to improve your team. For Sam Presti and in Oklahoma City Thunder, he can unload this by including some of those first-round draft picks.
Yes.
And so he can find a place, a team that is still rebuilding, that is towards the bottom of the league, that's willing to take on that salary because they're not contending for a title. They've still got years away from that, so they would be very attracted to some of those first-round draft picks, and that's an easy way to get off of it. But back to your original question, a contending team, which I think it doesn't seem like there's a feasible way to get to that point.
But when we see what OKC has to include with CP3 to get a team to take him, I think people might look at the trade that just happened through a slightly different prism. The Rockets included draft picks. They got back Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul. The Oklahoma City is going to have to include sweeteners, right, maybe probably a couple of those 15 first-round picks they have, in order to get a team to take Chris Paul, which is, again, if there were no salary cap in the NBA, Chris Paul is still, one of the 75 best players in the league. Like, he's still a valuable part of a team, but not at 35% of your salary cap. That's what kills him.
Your father time is coming for the banana boat. Somebody better warn LeBron. They got Melo, got D-Wade, got Chris Paul. Now, they already got LeBron's hair. But Father Time is coming for the banana boat.
He's got the headband.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.